you want to become a doer of the word rather than just a reader? Well, then you need what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently in a series called How to Study the Bible. And today we're going to talk about application, becoming a doer of the word, not just a hearer, or I guess we could say a reader. Now, before we do that, I want to remind you of something that I think will help you along your way, and it's our National Bible Conference. It's going to take place on October 26th through the 29th at Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel, Texas. We hope to see you there, and you can find out more about it by going to faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show. We're discussing how to study the Bible. It's something that we all have to learn, and it's kind of a lifelong process, being a better student of the Word. We've talked about a number of different theoretical things, our interpretive issues, you know, looking at arguments and context and connectives and things like that. Who's the speaker? Who's the audience? What's the occasion of the writing? All those things. But now let's get down to the nitty-gritty details. God doesn't just give us this information, this divine perspective, so that we can sit on our hands. There is application to the Word.
Absolutely. When you talk about Bible study methods, you generally talk about observation, observing the text, interpretation, understanding the text, application, applying the text. So today we're going to talk about applying the text. And I think you had some verses in James that directly relate to this.
Right. In James, and there, we have an ebook on our website called, I think it's called James as Wisdom Literature. Basically, James is Christian wisdom literature where he's telling people how to handle the trials of life. That's what he says in the first couple of verses.
Right.
And the key to handling the trials of life is, well, look at James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
Right. So if you hear the word and understand it, you interpret it correctly, but you don't do what the word is telling you to do, then it's unprofitable for you.
I'll give you an example. This is maybe a couple of years ago. I was baking some bread and my daughter Scout was with me and she was 2 years old at the time. And there was a lot of flies that year for some reason. So we had a bug zapper on the counter. And it was purple and it was glowing and it was very attractive to her. And she was inching her finger towards that bug zapper. And I was like, honey, don't touch it. If you touch it, it's going to zap you and it's going to be a big owie. And so she pulled her hand away. And as soon as I turned back to my making the bread, I can see in my peripheral vision that her little hand is inching back towards that bug zapper. And wouldn't you know it, anyways, after warning her a couple times, she touched it. She got zapped. She was crying. The word, she didn't do the word. She was just a hearer of the word, not a doer only. And she got zapped. And that's what happens to us if we're just hearers of the word.
That's exactly right. I think there's another example of this in verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the scriptures, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work.
Right.
Now, in verse 22, it was a doer of the word. Mm-hmm. Here, it's a doer of the work.
Right.
This one will be blessed in what he does. That's wisdom literature.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want blessing? Apply the word of God.
That's right.
And by the way, a passage that's a problem passage for a lot of people, but if they understood what's going on here, they would get it, is 2:14 through 17. And before we get there, let me just point out that I think the outline of the whole book is found in 1:19-20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be one, swift to hear. That's 1:21-2:26. That's the section we're talking about now.
Okay.
Swift to hear, swift to apply God's word. Slow to speak. Well, that's another kind of application. We're swift to hear, but he's using metaphors, hearing, speaking, and then slow to wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, slow to speak is chapter 3. Slow to wrath is 4:1-5:6. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Right.
Then 1:21 starts with therefore. It connects back to what he just said in the outline of the book.
Yeah.
Receive the word, be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Well, that hearers only obviously goes back to let everyone be swift to hear.
Sure.
And then when you get over to 2:14, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Well, remember, we're to be doers of the work.
Yeah.
Can faith save him? Or I would probably translate this deliver him, but the point is it's deliverance from God's judgment.
And by the way, is this the subjective act of believing, or is it the faith, the Christian faith?
I would say this is anything we believe in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I don't think this is necessarily the whole body of truth called the faith, but this isn't also what we would call saving faith, faith in Christ for eternal life. In fact, if you look at 2:12, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. It's not enough to say the right thing. We need to do the right thing.
Right.
Notice the illustration James uses. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you, a fellow believer, says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Basically, it's saying, hey, I'm praying that everything will work out okay.
Yeah.
But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Well, that word, what does it profit, is also what starts 2:14. And by the way, this is a principle of Bible study. In Greek, it's the same. 2:14 starts with tita aphelos. What does it profit? What good is it? What use is it? And 2:16 ends with the same expression.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point is, if you hear the word but don't do the word, it's unprofitable.
Right.
And that's when he says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Not that it's not faith. It means it's not productive. It's not profitable.
Yeah.
And so the whole point here is we must apply God's word to get the blessedness that God wants to give us.
Right, because if you know the right thing to do, but you don't do it, it's like if someone gave you a tip and said, listen, this stock is going to triple in the next few days, so you want to buy this stock.
But you don't buy it.
But if you don't buy it, you're not going to get the blessing.
So then the stock triples, and you buy it after it's tripled, and then you lose. And then it starts dropping
a
bit.
Right.
You could have tripled and sold out, or you could have tripled and held, and you would have been fine. But you waited too long.
Right, exactly. You can have information, and if you don't apply it, it's useless to you. Now, some info is just good to know in and of itself, and there's the application is just to believe that this thing is true.
Okay, now that's a question that I wanted to raise here. How do we know the application? We know that the Jewish rabbis often got it wrong. Remember, the disciples were sifting grain on the Sabbath and sifting it through their hands. They were plucking it and sifting it in their hands and then eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And that violated some of the laws the rabbis had set up.
Yeah.
Not Scripture. And Jesus said, no, what they're doing is not contrary to Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
There were lots of applications like that that were just flat out wrong. And so one of the questions we have is, how do we determine it? Well, one thing is, when the Scripture gives us an application, for example, James gives us one here. If someone's in your church and they have a need and you're able to meet that need, and their need isn't because they've been drinking all the time or they've been squandering things, that they have a real legitimate need and you could help meet the need but you don't do it, well, then you're not applying the Word of God like you should. And there's lots of examples like this in Scripture. We're given specific examples. Obey the governing authorities, Romans chapter 13. There's lots of examples like this. But as you just mentioned, one of the biggest applications in the Bible is to believe what's said. For example, we mentioned in a previous show that in Ephesians, there's three chapters on doctrine, three chapters on practice. One, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, the application in each chapter is believe this.
Right.
Let it influence your mindset. Galatians chapters 1 through 4, mindset, 5 and 6, application. Doesn't Romans 12, 2 say don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed? By what? Oh, the renewing of your mind.
Right.
Isn't the renewing of your mind a good thing? Isn't having the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, a good thing? Isn't having a biblical mindset, a godly mindset, the right thing? So I would say in terms of application, yes. One of the biggest applications is believe what God says. But
Right. Then
James is bringing out, on top of that, of course, we now need to follow up with that to get the blessing that God expects.
Right.
So if I have the right mindset, but I don't apply what I know to be right, well, then I'm missing out on the blessing.
I've been reading biographies of some of the early Plymouth Brethren guys. But I was reading this one guy in particular, Robert Chapman, and he was known as the Apostle of Love, and he was
really
one of these original Brethren guys in a little town called Barnstaple in Devon in England. Anyways, he was a wealthy lawyer doing very well in London, but then he became a believer, and he left it all basically to serve in this, I think there's like 18 people in this little particular Baptist church. And he served there under the condition, I'm not a particular Baptist. I'm just going to preach whatever the Bible is. And if you want me to be your teacher, then you're going to have to let me just teach the Bible. Anyways, they became part of the Brethren movement. But one of the things that struck me about him is that when he became a believer, and this is in his early 20s, he decided, if I become convinced that God has commanded me to do something, I'm going to obey right away. As soon as I understand it, there's not going to be any kind of hesitation in my obedience. This is just going to be part of my life. I was really challenged by that, because how often are we slow to obey?
That's good.
One of the points that he makes is that if you obey right away, then the Lord gives you more light.
That's right.
And I find as I grow older in the Christian life, I've been a believer now for 25 years, the Lord is always revealing more and more things to me in the Word that I wouldn't have been able to receive probably 20 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Which is a vital part of Bible study methods. You keep growing spiritually from first grade to second grade to third grade to fourth grade to eighth grade to, you know, graduating high school to college work and then to graduate work.
Right.
And you never stop growing unless you revert, unless you backslide. As long as you keep walking with Christ, you're going to keep advancing in the Christian life.
And God holds you accountable. If you're studying His Word, He holds you accountable to apply it.
Absolutely. What God does is He gives us His Word, and He gives us understanding if we're truly seeking. He's a reward of those who diligently seek Him. But if we don't then apply it, all of a sudden He's going to stop enlightening us, and all of a sudden we're going to start experiencing judgment. We need to then respond to the judgment to get back on track. But in terms of application of the Word of God is the key to blessing for you, for your spouse, for your children, for your extended family, for your neighbors, for everyone. But if you do not apply God's Word, then you become a curse to those around you. Read the book of Proverbs, wisdom literature, same idea. So let's be people who are doers of the Word, who are doers of the work in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. We've arrived at another Friday. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.